ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fans of all ages, it's your favorite time of the week. You might need to brace yourself and grab a cold beverage. Mark and Scott are ready to drop some college football betting knowledge on your ass. The boys are back and ready to help you find some angles to beat your book, impress your friends, and get you ready to enjoy the greatest sport on the planet. So sit back and enjoy, because we're damn happy to have you. Welcome to the Crazy Sheet.
Scotty, brother, we have gotten through the entire college football season. We are now to championship weekend, and then we're going to dive into the bowls. How the hell are you?
Man, I'm good. Just excited. Got Turkey Day behind us. Mike Leach got us a win, even though we did everything to try to lose that game. That was Ole Miss, Mississippi State in a nutshell. I mean, just chippy, you know, just a lot going on. Team that you don't expect to win it wins it. You know, I think a lot of people are laying the blame at Kiffin's feet, not having them prepared, you know, all of that. I felt like State dominated the line of scrimmage and candidly kind of did it on both sides of the ball as much as in Leach's offense you can dominate it. On the offensive side, they had no answer for State's front seven on defense.
No.
I mean, no answer. And I thought that I felt like I saw that I commented on this on Twitter that Zach Arnett didn't get SEC like coach of the week. For like they give it to coordinators and assistants and stuff like that. They do an award for that. That he didn't get that, I thought was comical. I mean, he held Ole Miss under 100 yards rushing. Yeah. I mean, those dudes been hanging up 300 yards on everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, and he did it at home, you know, on the road. I thought that was a really impressive performance. Bulldogs actually got some really good news on returnees. I'm stunned their linebacker's coming back. Leading tackler in the SEC, but I also don't think he's necessarily an NFL guy either, so might as well come back. But Jaden Crumity is an NFL guy, but he was hurt all year, and he was smart enough to not go to the draft, and he's coming back. So Bulldogs got some needed good news on the defensive line. How about Oregon State, Oregon? I can go to have a cocktail. The Ducks are up 17, and boom, final score comes across. My wife and I are eating Mexican. I'm like, wait a minute. How in the world did they lose this game?
Yeah.
I mean, just insane.
Well, not only that, but since you didn't see the end of it, Oregon State didn't throw a pass in the fourth, like after midway through the third quarter.
That's exactly right. Just ran the ball. I came back and watched it.
You know, and Jimbo Fisher getting up off the turf, getting it done in College Station against LSU and ruining what could have been a wild bid had they pulled off the SEC championship win Saturday to see if we're going to get our first two-loss team in the playoffs. So it was I'll tell you what, man, I thought about this a lot because we've talked about all season the direction of college football and where it's going and things we like, things we don't like. Overall, the state of the game on Saturdays when you're on the field, I feel like the quality of the game, we're getting more parity. The one thing the transfer portal has done, because when these kids jump ship so early and there's not that commitment to it, the coaches have done a pretty good job of having to adjust to these types of things. Because look at the last two weekends of college football. When you get the rivalry weekends, I mean, it was fantastic. I mean, games across the board were great. The week before that, games across the board were great. And so it's interesting to see this game start to evolve as we're going through it. I don't like everything about the portal and how it works with the NIL and basically free agency. But that's what the cards that we're dealt with now. And from an entertainment standpoint of just watching the game, it's been good. There's, you know, and teams have gotten – I mean, look at TCU as an example. This was a predominantly defensive team. Dykes moves 40 miles or, you know, 40 minutes across town basically, takes over, installs a new offense, brings in Gillespie, gets him a new voice. And – you can't tell me you're not excited to see TCU win the Big 12 this weekend, A, because I've got a bet on it, but B, is what a great story. And there's some talent on this team. I mean, they've got three or four. I mean, they got crazy speed in some skill positions. And watching Max Duggan play, I mean, that guy plays as hard as anybody that's out there. And but, I don't,
Mark, we've liked that guy for 3 years.
I know.
And it took Dykes to make him reach the level that I think we both felt like he was going to get to. So, yeah, it's awesome to watch.
And you know, if you look at the college football playoff right now, the four teams, which I think the four teams, if you take chalk and you roll TCU, USC, Georgia, and –
Well, Georgia and Michigan are in.
And Georgia and Michigan – I'm happy with that 14 playoff, personally.
Me I think, too. I love it. I think it's great.
Don't tell me that Ohio State and Alabama, you know, are probably better options than you. That's bullshit. I've watched them play on the field. Ohio State started off that game, and then they got out-coached. They got out-physicaled. I mean, everything across the board.
They Michigan got out-played across the board.
Just got out-played. And so don't tell me that Ohio State deserves a shot if something were to happen, because Michigan trucked those guys. And, I mean, you know, of all the stuff that people made fun of Jim Harbaugh about for several years, I mean, now he's got it on the rails, brother. And, I mean, it's like
– He does have it on the rails.
If you're in the Big Ten, you got to be going, whoa. Because, I mean, he's got this thing fixed. He's figured out how to beat Ohio State. Now you got kids going to be scratching their head a little bit because they've lost two in a row. I mean, that gets you fired at Ohio State. You can ask Coach John Cooper. But, you know, I mean, things are good. And look at the hire. How about Luke Fickell going to Wisconsin? I was shocked. Great hire. Absolutely great hire.
Yeah, absolutely a great hire. Happy for him. I do think Jim Leonard deserved the job. I have not seen if he's staying or not. I know they're obviously trying to get him to stay. I will be stunned if he may stay this year, but he'll be gone shortly thereafter. I think that's a great hire. Who I feel bad for is Luke Fickell. With all those jobs that were open last year, you can't tell me that guy couldn't have gone to Oklahoma, to Notre Dame, to any of those jobs. And this isn't a shot at Wisconsin, because I love Wisconsin. I really do. And it is just one of those things that it's not those jobs. And there were some big-time jobs. LSU, I mean, there's some big-time jobs I think he could have gotten. I do think he's a better fit in the upper Midwest because he knows that area and all of that. But I think Notre Dame was probably, if not his dream job, because I know he's an Ohio State guy and he's had the interim there already. I just think he had to pass on better jobs than Wisconsin last year because he was in the playoff, and kudos to him. So I'm happy to him that he did get a big-time job at Wisconsin. Do hate it for Jim Leonard because I think that guy's a really good football coach. You're going to laugh. I told some friends when our coaching search was going on with Leeds, I was like, why don't we try to interview Jim Leonard? And, you know, people looked at me like I had four heads, you know, because he's a Big Ten guy and went to Wisconsin. I'm like, the dude can coach. And I think he can be. I think he can be a really, really good football coach. The difference is, and I think Wisconsin chose this, they knew that Luke Fickell was going to be a good football coach. And I think his mentality and the way he handles his business. Luke Fickell's got a lot of Barry Alvarez to me. I could see that guy rolling into an AD's job. I mean, he's got that kind of temperament, you know, the way he restrains himself, the way he handles his business. He just, you know, he looks like a good dude, likable guy. So happy for him, happy for Wisconsin. They got a good foot. We need Wisconsin to stay good in the Big Ten. We need them to be Wisconsin.
Yeah,
and I think you'll get there. But you're right about Jim Harbaugh. That's a huge, huge deal. I think there's two things I got to say about, and you and I touched on this earlier in the week. Whoever, and I didn't look it up, the defensive line coach at Ohio State just needs to be fired. Because those guys are the exact same players they were 3 years ago. Because those guys are young. They were young a couple of years ago, and you're like, well, they're going to, man, look at what they're going to grow into. They ain't growing into any of the same player they were 2 years ago. And I think they got too many 4 and 5 stars on that defensive line for that to not be a dominant defense. They ought to be able to play Michigan with a safety back and stop the run. As good and as physical as those kids are coming out. And I think there's going to be some questions about Ryan Day, too, bud.
He's already catching it, yeah.
You talking about a guy who's about to – because, look, they played two good football teams, both at home this year, almost lost one and did lose the other. And I think it was – but I also want to point out Michigan. Let's not overlook how – Ohio State made them say, hey, we're going to play you man-to-man on the outside, and we don't think you can beat us throwing the football. And they threw the ball well enough in the first half to make Ohio State reposition. They gave up two, and then they got gashed running the football. I mean, that was fascinating. I think, and you were talking about the playoff, I don't want to get past. Does anybody really want to watch Ohio State go play Georgia? I mean, I'm cheering for USC. Georgia will smoke them because that defense is better than Michigan's.
Yeah.
And it's pretty clear they have trouble up front blocking the run for the run. I think they'd have all kinds of problems with Georgia. I think USC Georgia is going to be a great game. I mean, I think it'll be fun because I think they'll be able to score enough to keep up. Now, that USC defense is obviously probably going to be in trouble against Georgia too. But I still think it'll be a fun game. I think it may very well be like Oklahoma, Georgia was a few years ago with Baker Mayfield. Think about how great that game was.
That was a fantastic game.
Fantastic game. So I'm super excited about that. I hope the four teams that are in the top four win this weekend from a personal level. And I think USC Michigan will be fun.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, because I think Dykes is a good enough offensive coach. You give him that much time to scheme against that Michigan defense, I think he's going to find some things that will move the football. And I think they're going to have all kinds of problems controlling that Michigan run game. So I just think the playoff games will be fun. I could see any of the – could you really not see SC scoring enough points to beat Georgia? I could. I don't think they will. But would it stun me? No. I wouldn't be like, well, never saw that coming. Lincoln Riley scores points.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
So, I mean, I think the potential games could be really, really fun this year. And that gets me really excited. I just hope the chalk holds.
We'll see. You got Hugh Freeze announced as the new Auburn coach, which – for all of you that didn't, I think that's the best hire Auburn could have made. The guy knows the SEC. You're bringing him right back into where you recruit. I'm not concerned about all the stuff that people want, the jokes about the strippers and the cell phone. Look, I don't care. It's about winning football games out there, and that's it. I mean, don't talk to me about, we talked about character a lot. At the SEC, I get it. You need some good coach. It's more about winning at the SEC. I mean, and so there's other schools where you need some character, but bringing him in, I thought it was a good move. It's interesting now because now you've got, what, five coaches that have beaten Nick Saban that are all in the SEC. Jimbo.
Malzahn's the only one. I think Malzahn's one of the few that's not still in the SEC that has success against Saban.
He may be the only one. Because the other coach that beat him once he took over at Alabama is Charlie Weatherby when he was at University of Louisiana Monroe, and he's not coaching anymore. He's actually
neither's Urban Meyer. Yeah,
yeah, I think he's the FCA director in Orlando or something like that. And Urban Meyer's not coaching either. And so there's not too many active coaches out there that have beaten Nick. And so I think next year is going to be really interesting from a recruiting standpoint. The portal opens up in 4 days on December the 5th. I think it'll be bonkers in what you can see from that standpoint. And so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see, like, is A&M's roster that all the kids they recruited from last year, is it going to hold? That's interesting to me. Secondly, is Jimbo Fisher getting that win again? I mean, can't you see Jimbo just as stubborn and as arrogant as he is?
He basically just said he's not changing the offense. What I need the offense to change for? I know they fired the guy they were calling coordinator. Who are you going to get? Who is the young, bright offensive mind that's going to come into that mess?
Yeah, I'm out on that. I have no idea.
Yeah, nobody is. I'll say this on Hugh Freeze. I don't think the guy's void of character. Do I think he's the most character guy in the country? Certainly not. But I will say this. I don't think anybody wants their worst things they've done scattered all over the internet like he's had.
No.
I still stand by. I don't think those hookers were for him. I'm just going to tell you, we've had some ladies of the night get arrested in Oxford. I don't know that they were all for Hugh. He might have partaken too, but there may have been some other, and he's never coaching again if they find out he was getting them for players. So you're never gonna convince me they were all for him, but that's conjecture. That is nothing that I know. I just know they were floating around Oxford too. So, it's a different deal. I think Hugh Freeze is a really good football coach. If you would have let me pick anybody in the country, and our fan base would have had a complete meltdown. Hugh Freeze is who I wanted to hire and just got laughed. No way we'd hire that guy. You don't want to win. You know, that's bottom line, because he's going to win.
Yeah.
And he's going to recruit well.
Oh, yeah.
And with matched with the money that Auburn has in NIL and their desire to get back and beating Alabama, there's no telling what he's going to do. I mean, they may, and look, he's going to go hop in that portal. Auburn will be a totally different football team next year.
Oh, yeah.
A totally different football team. And I think in 3 years, when the playoff expands, they're in it first year. Because I think that'll give him enough time to change the program. And I just think, as you said, a lot of coaches coming in that have had some success. He's not going to be intimidated at Nick Saban.
No.
And I just think it's going to be and you know, cheating is basically – I don't know that they're even watching it, because I don't know what you call cheating anymore in NCAA football. So, I mean, you just go to town now.
Yeah,
and no everything idea. That Hugh Freeze got in trouble for, minus is – it was paying players. Well, that's legal now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's not to like? So I think that's a great hire. I think the Fickell hire is a great hire. Really interesting. Trent Dilfer, I don't want to get past that either, going to UAB. That was an eyebrow raiser to me. So that should be interesting. His Elite 11, it makes this a wild card hire to me. Because at the end of the day, guys know football. Jeff Saturday, I think, is proving you're going to make some mistakes. But, I mean, you've been that good for that long. You know, you're good enough to play NFL quarterback and go to Super Bowls. And, dude, don't tell me that he doesn't understand the game well enough to go coach it. That's nuts. That Elite 11 connection, I think, is going to be a big deal, because he knows more. Elite 11 is a lot like the basketball recruiting through all the shenanigans that go on there, candidly. I mean, you've got street agents running these 7-on-7 teams and stuff like that. Man, he's going to have access to guys that run a lot of stroke. And he starts getting all those guys who are just one step off the Power 5 radar and gets them to Birmingham. Boy, that could be interesting to watch. So I think that's a fascinating hire.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm looking forward to next season. I'm looking forward to next week. I think the portal is going to be interesting. I think there's going to be some more coaching announcements that are going to take place. I mean, last year we never would have seen some of these giant jobs and the way these coaches were going to move. And I don't think it's over yet. I think we may see some more of it starting after Saturday. That being said, Scotty, that is all behind us. And we're a gambling podcast, so let's talk about some gambling that we got right here. Got a short board. We're going to run through all the games and just try to see if we can't extract some value. Scotty and I are on the same side on some of them. Some of them we might be a little different. But let's roll through. Let's not get past the first game, Scott, which is in Buffalo and Akron playing, with Buffalo laying 12 after Akron absolutely just boat raced Northern Illinois last week to get to their second win. If somehow they pulled this upset off, that would get them over the 2.5 win total. How about Moorhead getting it done up there, my friend?
I love it. That was wild. They did, I mean, just drill Northern last week. I don't think they get it done. I think Buffalo covers this. I like, you know, what I think is going to be fascinating in this ball game is how that Buffalo run defense is terrible, and Akron doesn't run it at all. So do they try to run it? Do they? I think that's going to be a fascinating part, but I would lay the points here with Buffalo.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to take Akron. I may bet my – I haven't bet this game yet. I may bet a college teaser and get me to plus 17. I have no idea if I'm going to play this game. I'm totally full of shit. Buffalo needs to win this game to get bowl eligible.
You talk yourself out of the teaser.
I can't bet a college teaser. Literally, people that are friends of mine, they listen to the podcast. I'm going to hear about it. When they'll tell me about a college teaser, I'm like, bro, you can't be putting teasers in college. It's like those lines are wild. Anyway, two games we got Friday that are championship games. North Texas, UTSA. This game's going to be played in the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. Over under here is sitting at 69. You're seeing some 68.5, 69.5 in different spots. Lions kind of painted at 8.5 points. This is a rematch for these two teams, and there's a lot of rematches this weekend. So if you're trying to do some digging, you know, dig into the last time they played. We love Beep Beep coming into this spot, but this is a game, you know, that they played earlier in the season and they lost to North Texas in this spot, didn't they? Or did they beat North Texas?
You know what? I was just looking at
that. Yeah, they beat North Texas 31-27 with the over-under at 73 and the line was 10. So it's interesting. You've got a little bit less line. Over-under's down quite a bit in this one. I don't have a play in this one. I would probably take UTSA on the money line, but I like North Texas getting the points. I think that may be too many points, and I would take North Texas plus 8.5 if I'm laying this one.
I do too. I think it may be a little higher scoring, but I like North Texas getting the points here. Candidly, I think North Texas may be a live dog.
Ooh, I like this. I like where we're going here. Yeah, I would take North Texas this one plus 8.5. If it's a live dog, then maybe we got a little money line parlay because I see another one down the board I like quite a bit. Don't have a play in this one yet, but that's what we've got. Should be a good game. Then the other game everybody's going to want to watch Friday night is going to be the played at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, which is Vegas is rapidly becoming, now that gambling is legal, the sports mecca. Now you got the Final Four has been announced. It's going to be out there. The Super Bowl's out there. It's great. I mean, there's like four conference basketball tournaments in Las Vegas, which I think is a smart decision. It's easier to get around. You don't feel like you're going to get shanked like when you have to go to the Superdome to go watch a game and those you're types right. of things. So anyway, coming in this one, Utah-USC. This is a rematch from a game that was played earlier this season that Utah snuck out and won, I think by 1 point when they played at Rice-Eccles earlier in the year. USC comes in here. The line is -2. It opened up at -2.5. It's about -2.5 across the board. Over-unders looks like 67 in this one. I'm playing chalk with USC in this spot. Utah's got some key injuries to me that are going to cause problems. Clark Phillips, their all-world corner, didn't play last week. They think he's going to be back this week. But we'll see if he's a gimpy a little bit on this spot. And then the other thing that you've got is the tight end for Utah. What's the kid's name? I just had Kincaid. He was all world in this game last time. He had 16 catches for like 265 yards and just pulled them out of the fire in some big plays in this one. He's banged up too. I personally think Utah is not as good. I mean, we saw this team early in the season lose to Florida. I thought coming into it, this was a team that was probably going to win the Pac-12. I have not been overwhelmed by Utah and what I've seen this season. USC on the flip side, their turnover margin is just crazy. I mean, their lucky level is as high as you can get it. They're plus 22 in the turnover margin. They're 9-3 to the over, and they're 8-4 against the number. This offense is – no one has proven that they can slow this offense down. They're averaging 43 points a game. I think they can put it on here. The over-under number is high, but I definitely could see it going over because the defense is not great. But I'm going to lay chalk with USC under 3 in that key number. I think the Trojans get revenge on Utah and win this game and get ready to play for the national championship.
I agree 100%, like this game. SC gets it done. They almost got it done on the road. Utah was lucky to win that ball game the first time. That's with a guy with 250 yards rush receiving. He may not play this time. So you start getting DBs banged up against this football team, and, man, you can get sideways fast. Bottom line is, I don't think Utah wins that ball game on a neutral field or home, or if it's at USC the first time. They won it at home because it was rowdy and they were able to come back with that last second victory. I don't think they get it done this time. I like SC laying the points. I like this game a lot, actually.
And how about the Heisman odds that you've got at this point?
Caleb Williams. Has anybody else got a chance to win it besides Williams?
I don't think so. I mean, CJ Stroud's shit the bed. For some reason, no one likes Stenson Bennett to win it. I mean, Max Duggan's going to be there, which I think is kind of cool. So if you're going to take a flyer, you could take Max Duggan at, you know, plus 2,500 and see if he can sneak it in. But I don't think I don't think Max Duggan, most people in the country even know who he is, to be honest with you. So I can't imagine he's going to get the win on this one. So you first play we got, USC -2.5. I'm going to take a slice of the over as well. Next game, Big 12 Championship. This is going to be played at Jerry World. Another rematch that we got here. TCU and Kansas State. This was a great game earlier in the season. TCU pulled it out as Kansas State ended up having to play with their third-string quarterback. From what I've read, they're saying we may see some Adrian Martinez. I don't know why you wouldn't have a package or two for him if you can play with Kansas State. But this TCU team, man, every time you've stepped in front of this team, you just get run over. I mean, they're 12-0 straight up. They're 9-2-1 against the spread. And Kansas State's 8-3-1 against the spread. So these,
I know, they are cover machines.
I mean, it's like you want to bet on both of them at the same time. So you've got a winning ticket. But I'm going to roll chalk. I'm going to take the Frogs -2.5. And for my Frog fans that are out there listening, DM me, hit me up. I want a Hypno Toad t-shirt, and I am happy to pay for it. I get some t-shirts from some folks around the country, but I cannot find a Hypno Toad t-shirt. I want one. I'm cheering for Sonny Dykes. Look, man, like I said, I want that second statue on campus, man. I mean, right next to Fat Gary, I want the one-year Sonny Dykes, 12-0, 13-0 season, gets him in the national championship. Let's put Sonny right next to him. Get me a Hypno t-shirt. Take TCU, laying it here. I think this is a good bet. I think TCU's fast. I think they're physical. They're healthy. They're going to get it done in this one. I'm expecting Quentin Johnson to be back for TCU from what I've been reading, and he's a difference maker for them. And so it's going to be fun to watch, but I'm taking TCU in this one.
I love TCU. Mark, it's just what you said. Every time we try to jump in front of this team, they get us. They're playing better football now than they have all year.
100%.
And they walked into a tough spot at Baylor. We thought they might lose down there. That, I think, is really what propelled them, because that was the end of a big stretch. Everybody's paying attention to what they were doing. You know, they're going on the road, winning at West Virginia, which is, as you said 100 times, a really tough place to play, because it's like going to Mars to play a football game. I mean, it makes Starkville, Mississippi look like it is a metropolis. I mean, it makes it look like NYC. I mean, it is Morgantown. Not only is it a small town and the only thing going is the college, it's 2 hours from a major town. You know, I mean, it is not, there is nothing around it. And it's such a, you know, such a different feel up there. I just feel like this football team's playing really, really well right now. And I think it does not slow them down. I think they figure out how to get it done again and win the football game. You know, K-State, you need to be really glad your football coach is there. I think Klieman is such a good football coach. I'm surprised one of these Big Ten teams didn't try to scoop him up. Man, what do I know? We just do a gambling podcast, but man, there sure are a lot of coaches have been unsuccessful to do who can win in Manhattan and in North Dakota and places like that. I feel like you might ought to keep an eye on. I mean, he turned Adrian Martinez into a legitimate player. So anyway, enough about that, but I like TCU. I think they get it done late.
All right, let's get to the next one, Scotty. The MAC Championship. This will be played in Detroit. Good friend of ours is actually going to the game. I'm pretty excited about that. Ohio coming in here is getting 4.5 points. Toledo's it opened up at 4.5. Now the line's all the way down to 1.5. Over-under's painted across the board at 55. Scotty, you're my MAC guy here. How are we going to play this one?
The difference is I like Ohio here. I just think this team has got something special about it. They're winning with all kinds of players. They're down to their third-team quarterback. I mean, they are just figuring out how to get it done. I mean, this team has rallied. They are not great on defense, but I just feel like this offensive staff has just figured it out. And they've got the kids bought in. Toledo was completely unimpressive last week. I don't like where they are. They've been playing with backup quarterback. I think at the end of the day, I just think this Ohio team's got some mojo going. I think they're going to figure out how to do it. This feels like this game's going to go over simply because of Ohio's ability to score, but Ohio's inability to keep other teams from scoring. It feels like it's going to go over, but at the end of the day, I'm going to take the points first on Ohio and get the 1.5 and take it home. I think they win this ball game, obviously, straight up.
Yeah, I like Ohio. I like the over as well. Yeah. I mean, you know, you and I got lucky. We put it out. Hopefully some folks picked up. But we got lucky on that under in the Ohio game, because Ohio damn near went over the game by themselves in that one with their third string.
That's exactly right.
But it played out just like what the podcast – I mean, they ran a lot of zone read. I think they're going to do it again. But he threw some downfield passes that were nice. And so I like Timmy Albans. And keep in mind, they had a long time to get – both these teams have had a little extra time to get ready for this game. Which is good for Ohio because you're having to bring that third-string quarterback in. And so I like where we're headed with this one. But, yes, I am all in on Ohio. I like the over. And let's keep this thing moving for the MAC championship. It'd be awesome. Ohio has not won a MAC championship in recent past. Frank Solich never did it. So it would be a big deal if they could pull this one out.
It's a huge deal, Coach Albans.
Yeah.
Huge deal. So Coach Albans gets this. This is – I mean, it sets him – I think off to a really good streak because last year, you know, he took over right before the season, and they obviously struggled a little bit with the changeover. And then this year, winning a MAC really solidifies him in that conference, and I think really allows him to be able to go out, recruit, do some things like that.
Yeah, 84% of the money is coming in on Ohio in this one, as far as what DraftKings is reporting as we record this. So we're on the right side, I think. Next one, Scotty, let's go to the Sun Belt. Coastal Carolina will be matched up against Troy in this one. I'm rolling with Troy. The line here is -8.5. It opened up at 5. It moved all the way up to 8.5. Total here is coming at 48. I'm so pissed I didn't bet Troy to win the Sun Belt early in the season. I wrote it down when we were going to record. I didn't do it. This is the best defense in the conference. That new coach has stepped in, done a fantastic job playing defense with this team. And the offense has gotten better. I was expecting the offense to be really poor all season long. It's improved as the season's gone on. They're still only scoring 24 points a game. But everybody, when they think about Coastal, you're thinking about this high-flying offense, Jamie Chadwell, what he's been able to do. With Grayson McCall out, Coastal has been extremely pedestrian. There's rumors that he may play in this game, but I just don't see how, with a hurt foot and how he's going to be able to come back and run this offense the way they've got. And they have looked rough without him playing. Give me Troy laying the points in this one. I hope McCall actually comes back and this number comes back down under 7. If it does, I'm going to hit it again. I've already bet this game. Give me the Trojans.
I like Troy here. I actually think I like him even if he does play. Just what you said. Everybody acts like you said Coastal's just this juggernaut this year. They're only averaging 30 points a game, you know, on the season. I mean, that's, you know, that, I mean, yes, that's good, but I mean, that's not what I think of USC when I think of juggernauts. You know, give me somebody scoring 40 every week. I mean, that's a, you know, that's a prolific offense. So I just think this team is good. This Troy team did a really good job, even early in the year, first game of the season at Ole Miss, stopping a really, really strong run game for the Rebels, slowing them down. I think they held Ole Miss scoreless, if I remember right, in that second half. They certainly didn't score more than once in that second half. So it was a really good job. I like Troy here. I think they win this game. I love that them and South Alabama both won 10 games in this league this year. Sets up great. I think some of the new coaches in the Fun Belt look to be really, really good. Because I've commented about Hall at Southern Miss, but I think he's going to do a good job. So I just like kind of where this league is headed, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Scotty, let's get to it. Tulane, UCF, and the American. Man, how about Willie Fritz? This team was 2-10 last season. Don't forget the fact that they got displaced because of a hurricane. They didn't fire his ass. They left him there. He's got a good quarterback. He's got a fantastic defense as they get ready for this one against Central Florida. This is another rematch that we're going to see. Central Florida got the win earlier in the season on these two. I like Tulane here. I'm going to roll chalk. I wish I could get it under 3. The number's floating around 3.5 right now. Over-under's at 56. This game will be played in New Orleans at Tulane's home field. It'll probably be a very lightly watched game as it's going to tee off against some of the other ones that are there. Namely, the SEC championship starts at the exact same time. But I like Tulane. I'm going to lay chalk here in the same one. I like what Willie Fritz is doing. This team's bought in. I think it's going to be a fantastic game. But I'm going to roll Tulane minus the points.
Well, so they killed me the last time these two teams played. I was on board. I thought, oh man, we're going to get a chance to see how this goes. And Plumlee played a really, really good game. Had a big run that really was kind of the difference in that ball game in the first half. It really is really what separated them. And I feel like I'm nervous about this. I feel like Tulane is too good of a team to lose to this team because they didn't play very well on defense in that ball game. And this is a team that's driven by defense and on the defensive side of the football. They do enough on offense to win ball games. That defense puts them in good spots. It wasn't able to do it against Gus Bus and Central Florida last time. I think they will this time. 3.5 is a big number. I think that scares me a little bit. You know, at the end of the day, there is a little bit of Ric Flair coming in my ear. You want to be the man, you got to beat the man. I don't know if they covered 3.5. I think if I'm playing it, I'm going to play Central Florida, but I will be cheering for Tulane.
Yeah, I haven't
played this game. But I love me some Willie Fritt.
Yeah, I do too.
Love me some Willie Fritt.
I hadn't played this game, so you and I are kind of – this may be a pass for us in this spot. I mean, you're right. I mean, last time UCF ran for 343 yards against this team, and so they're going to have to step it up on defense. That's going to be the difference to see if they can do it. If they can slow that rushing attack down, I also think this game has a chance to go under the total. They went way over last time, but I can see it happening. Let's go to the Mountain West, brother. Game 315, game 316. Boise State at home playing on the Smurf turf. Laying 3, over under here is 54.5 is what you're seeing almost all the way across the board. This is an interesting game. Boise State team, we've ridden them a little bit this season, had some luck here and there. This Fresno team, without Jake Haener, obviously cannot get it done. They got dominated early in the season where Boise State won 40-20 in that one. I think Fresno State bounces back, gets this win. I think they're a live dog. I think with Jake Haener in there, this is a completely different team. This is going to be probably his last game at Fresno, assuming he opts out for the bowl game. But I'm going to go Fresno State in this one all the way, +3. I wish I could get a little bit more, but I like Fresno State as a live dog here.
Well, this was the stretch where Haener was out.
Correct.
When they got gas canned at Boise. I kind of am on the opposite end of this. And say what you want to say, it's hard when you drill a team to get both to come back and have to play them again. Boise playing much better than they were early in the season. And look, I've won some money on those guys these last few weeks. They have been really good to bet these last few weeks, but I just think Fresno State with their quarterback may have a chance to get this ball game done. You know, you're getting points. So I tell you, I like Fresno in this game, getting the points. And I think that's probably what I'm going to ride in this ball game.
Ooh, all right. Now let's get to the Big Daddies, the SEC Championship. Georgia laying 17.5, almost painted across the board. Over under here is at 51. Talked to somebody this morning whose son's on the team. Daniels has been in a walking boot. That kid, I mean, he was banged up in that A&M game last week. It's going to be hard for LSU. I can't see LSU covering this game. Everything I'm reading out of Georgia, the one thing that this group of seniors hasn't done is they have not won the SEC championship. So I think it's a big deal for them to get this one. LSU's offensive line had problems last week against A&M. Those two freshman tackles just couldn't get it done. There was a lot of breakdown. The entire offense is basically Jaden Daniels being able to run the ball. He does have some great receivers, but I think Georgia can shut this down. I'm going to bet this game two ways. Biggest bet I'm going to have all day is going to be on Georgia -9 to cover the first half, -9.5. You can get it under 10. I think it's playable. And then I'll probably take a half a unit, and I'm going to lay it on Georgia to cover 17. If I can find a 17 and bet that. I have a hard time seeing LSU being able to do much against this Georgia team.
You know, last week what the difference was is Jimbo didn't let Daniels run the football. And that's what you've got to do to stop this offense because he – and look, those wide receivers are great too. But Daniels is a flawed passer. He is looking to run first. And – I mean, when you got the guy, I mean, Neighbors and Boutte are both legit. I mean, legit for LSU. And I think I've said this a dozen times. I think Kelly's a fabulous football coach. He has anybody that thinks that's a 9-win football team's crazy. I mean, there are any multiple of coaches in the country that gone 500 with that football team.
Let's not forget this team played in a bowl game last year at 6-6 with 39 scholarship players that made the travel team. Okay. That's less than half the amount of scholarship athletes that you can have on a Division I football
playing,
team.
They're only playing with low 70s on scholarship right now.
Yeah.
I sound like I'm on a love fest with Kelly, but he's done a really, really good job quickly. And once he gets even roster, I keep saying this, man, Les Miles and Ed Orgeron won national championships there. It ain't that damn hard to win at LSU. There's talent falling off of trees in Louisiana. Kelly's going to do great, but it ain't going to be Saturday.
I love
Georgia. I think they're going to stop them. I think Georgia, I mean, last week was just a sleepwalk, absolute drilling of a rival.
They almost covered 33 points.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were asleep. I mean, not even given effort. I mean, that first quarter, Georgia was awful.
Yeah,
I mean,
terrible.
Just awful. And then just, you know what, let's brush these guys off and let's go drill them. Like you said, say what you want to say, and this is not true for every other conference title. I think the Big Ten feels a little bit this way. But, man, it's an important deal for kids in the Southeastern Conference to get to Atlanta, but to win a Southeastern Conference championship. It is gold for the Alabamas and Georgias. There's one other goal above it. It ain't to make the playoff. It's to win the Natty. Because if you win the Southeastern Conference and you're Georgia or Alabama, you're going to play for the national title. I mean, that is the deal. And that's the reason it's so big on the list. I think it will be important. I think LSU gets their A effort, and I just don't think they got enough bullets in the gun to keep up with a loaded Georgia program.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like I said, I'm going to take – it looks like the line's already moved up to minus 10 in the first half. I think it's still playable. I just think Georgia comes in here and gets it done. The one thing that LSU – the edge rushers and Harold Perkins and those guys, I just think they're going to get negated in this game because of the rushing attack that Georgia's going to be able to put out there. They do throw the ball quite a bit. But the difference is it's a lot of out strike routes with that tight end package. I am so looking forward to watching the tight end package in person. That sounds nerdy, but I'll be there Saturday. And so I'm really interested to see how he uses all those tight ends in this spot. I'm super excited about it. ACC championship, why this game's in primetime is beyond me. This is a terrible game. Clemson, North Carolina, both of these teams coming in with losses to their rivals last week. That's embarrassing for both of these teams, frankly. I mean, North Carolina State's got a backup quarterback that was playing for them, and they stuck.
Although that kid is highly rated.
I totally agree.
It is the future of the program. Yes. I do think in Carolina's defense, I watched that game. That defense for North Carolina State played well. I thought that was a really well-played game. But Drake May is extremely impressive, too. But what I want to say is I'm not sure North Carolina State's not significantly more explosive with this kid than they were with Leary.
You may be right. Anyway, both of them come into close losses to their rivals. Clemson losing that game to South Carolina. And, I mean, holy Spencer Rattler. I mean, did that guy get baptized at like week 9 or something? Is he a born again Christian? What just happened to that kid? I mean,
listen, I'll tell you what, you gotta love what they're doing. I mean, I think it's exciting for them. We need somebody in the East to step up because I don't know that it's going to be Billy Napier and the Gators. That there's a lot of mess going on down there. I mean, when you got dudes, backup quarterbacks getting arrested for child porn, you got all kinds of. You got major problems going on. Yeah. I mean, those aren't minor problems. Those are major problems.
Well, I mean, don't be punny on talking about child porn and minor problems there. But let's move on before we step in a hole that we don't want to get into.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, I think that was interesting. But both these teams were total letdowns last week. Clemson especially. I mean, that ball game's at home. You got it. You have got to win that. You were a 2-touchdown favorite. You were dominating that game early and just let it slide. I mean, I was really disappointed in Clemson, which rolls over to this week. What have they got to play for?
Nothing.
You got a young freshman quarterback, still a pretty young football team in North Carolina. I mean, I think they come out with more to play for. If you talk about – you tell me who's more excited to be here. Like, you'd have told North Carolina week one, hey, man, do you realize you just almost lost to App State, but don't worry, you're going to win your division of the ACC and you're going to play in the ACC championship. They'd been like, score. I mean, they just gave up 50 to Appy State. And speaking of, Gene Chizik, he done a nice job with that defense. That defense
it's gotten better.
Significantly better throughout the year. But at the end of the day, this is too many points. I think they're a live dog.
I like
it. It's too many points. I'm taking the points. I like it. I will tell you, I think I may fully be on the money line in this ball game with North Texas and North Carolina.
Just going to the northern route. That's a plus 260.
I mean, you're going. Yeah, plus +265. I hadn't run the odds yet, but I mean, there's no way you're not going to be getting 10-1 with 8.5 or 7.5 and an 8.5.
Yeah, you're getting it plus 265 and plus 275 in those games. I'll pull the odds together here in a minute, but yeah, it's going to be close to 8-10-1 on that one. I like that play. I'm going to play North Carolina getting the points. It's 7.5 pretty much across the board. Opened up around 8. DJU, if you've listened to this podcast, you know my love affair for this kid. I just cannot stand him. And I think Dabo's loyalty to him is probably the downfall to their season. Their offense, even though they've scored 34 points a game, there has not been a game that we've looked at and gone like, whoa, here it comes. They're breaking it out. And, you know, you hear about Cade Klubnik, and he's like, nope, DJ's our quarterback. I think I won't be surprised if DJ doesn't hit the portal next week. And go somewhere, because if he stays at Clemson again next year, I can't imagine they're going to start him. But yeah, I see it.
Mark, I think Klubnik not playing's got as much to do with his development than it does DJ. I think they keep sticking him out there because I think they know this team's flawed, especially at the wide receiver spot, and his ability to run the football. He may take some shots he doesn't need to necessarily take. I think it's more about development and keeping him on track down the road. I think they know Ungalale can't get him there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
But you're right. The wide receiver, there's not a lot of separation in that Clemson wide receiver.
No, there's not.
And so there's not a lot of explosiveness at all. Anyway, let's take North Carolina, +7.5. Get him in the money line. Scotty, big team.
I want to tell you something. You'll never hear me say this much. If they don't try to get a couple of guys from Mississippi State out of the portal, because State's got more talent wide receiver than Clemson does. I don't even think it's close. I mean, I really don't. They don't have anybody like Tulu Griffin. He's just simply not out there. And look, Ra-Ra Thomas, the South Carolina kid.
But he didn't pull anybody out of the portal. That's his whole thing. He won't pull anybody.
It's crazy. So, anyway, that's why they're doing it. The difference of where Clemson's at right now versus where they were when they were competing with Bama and winning national titles is at the wide receiver and cornerback spots. That's where they're different. They are not playing at that level, especially at wide receiver. But, you know, look, I love Shipley. I think he's a great back. But as a whole, they're not doing as well in the run at running back as they were either.
Hey, let me give you a number real quick. $100 money line parlay on North Texas and Clemson, or on North Carolina as it sits right now at plus 265 and plus 275, pays out 12.5-1.
Book it, Nano.
I'm in on this. I like where we're headed here. All right, last game we got Big Ten Championship, Purdue, Michigan. It's a great, great story to get Purdue here. This is a team that nobody had a lot of expectations with Purdue. They don't have the high-flying wide receivers you've got. You've got a walk-on running back at Purdue, Maccabee, that's got a chance to set the freshman rushing record for this team. University of Michigan just coming off of that dominating win over Ohio State. I'd lay chalk with Michigan at -17. I'm going to take them in the first half. I'm going to probably take them for the game. I'm going to split a unit between the two. I just don't see Purdue being able to get it done. And I also think they can't run the ball that effectively against this Michigan defense and trying to slow things down. I think Jeff Brohm's creative. I mean, he's got three wins against three top ten teams. You know, he's got three wins versus, you know, what, three top five teams while he's been there. But I'm going to lay the chalk with Michigan here at 17. Probably make a bigger bet on the first half and then a little bit on the second, a little bit on the whole game. But that'd be how I'm going to play this one.
I'm going to give you why I'm laying Michigan in this ball game.
All right.
And it's really simple. In Big Ten games, first game of the year with Maryland, they won by 7. Remember, they were going through the quarterback changes and figuring out who they were going to be dealing with at this point. Second game, they won by 13 against Iowa. After that, they've had one close game, 21, 24, 22, 35, 31, 2 to Iowa, and 22 against Ohio State. Yeah. You know what? You give me a 6-3 bet of them being able to cover 17 against conference foes, and there's some whole lot better teams than Purdue on that list and some whole lot better defenses than Purdue's on that list. Yeah, I'll lay the points for Michigan. As this team's gotten better – because you can really throw out that they had no business winning that Illinois game as bad as they played. They were sleepwalking in that ball game and found a way to get out of there. And one thing I want to point out in that ball game that I think is turning out to be completely missed is the not analytics that Jim Harbaugh followed, taking that field goal to cut it to one when he had two and a half minutes left in that ball game.
Yeah.
3 minutes left, something like that. He kicks the field goal, holds them because he's got all his timeouts. Boom, takes them down, and they make another field goal and they win the ball game. 90% of coaches in America go for it on fourth down, and they lose that ball game. That's the bottom line.
Probably true.
Nobody's going to talk about Jim Harbaugh playing old school football right there, but that won him that football game. So anyway, but they sleptwalked through that game. They have looked really, really good throughout conference schedule. And look, beating Iowa by 13, as good as that defense is when you're a run first team, especially early in the year. But we saw maturation from a quarterback last week that I thought from a young player stepping up in a rivalry game. If you're not a Michigan guy and you're just watching the game, you're like, man, this kid's stepping up. If you're a Michigan kid, you got to be like fired up. Like, my dude just answered the bell on the road at a rivalry game. I thought that kid was phenomenal the way he was able to play the football. Because again, I don't think that Michigan wide receiver group is like just incredible. You know, it's not they don't have good players, but I don't think they're incredible. There's some really good athletes on that Ohio State defense. Man, he just played really, really good football after we heard, can he do it with his arm? Can he do it with his arm? I think we saw that he can, and I think that Michigan team took a step forward. I just don't think Purdue can stop these guys running the football. They'll get their tailback back at least in working capacity. They found some guys last week that could run it.
Yeah.
I mean, just switching guys over. How about him bringing the guy over who threw the jump pass to the tight end on fourth down? That time was fabulous. I mean, just in the short yardage deal. I mean, that guy was playing defense a few weeks ago. So just a cool deal. Cool deal for Michigan. I think they cover this game. I think they win it pretty easily. Michigan's a good football team. How good are they? We'll see. How good is the Big Ten? We'll see. Because I think what we're seeing in college football is there's a – you talked about parity, Mark. There's a ton of parity, especially in the middle. I think there's no difference in an 8-win Mississippi State football team and a 5 or 6-win Power 5 in another league. I don't think there's very much difference, but there's also not very much difference in a 9 or a 10-win in a lot of leagues too. I think they can play with those football teams. I'll give you a prime example. Penn State, that's a 10-win football team I think is completely flawed. But we talked about about LSU's a 9-win football team. I think they're completely flawed. So, I mean, I think there is a lot of parity right in the middle, but I don't think those teams at the very top, the Georgias, what's turning out to be Michigan, those teams are good football teams.
Yeah.
U.S. really explosive. You got to be high-end to be able to keep up with those guys.
Scott, let's not walk away from one conference championship. The SWAC conference championship takes place this weekend with Coach Prime against Southern in this one. Fantastic game. First time these teams played earlier in the season, back at the end of October. Coach Prime got it done 35-0. Jackson State's laying 17.5 in this one. I'm going Coach Prime again, brother, and I may take the under. I mean, you're getting 98% of the tickets on this game are going on the over at 50, which is crazy. I've never seen it. 1% of the money that has been taken at DraftKings so far is on under 50. Jackson State won this game 35-0 last time. I need to go back and check to make sure Southern's healthy before I get on the under in this one. The gimme Coach Prime laying 17.5 in the SWAC championship game. I am the SWAC, as he likes to say.
You know what? This is going to be this is going to be a lot of fun. I went to 2 SWAC games in my high school career. Our football team, obviously, they sent a bus down a couple of years. In my junior year, I went to go watch JSU play Southern. And then my senior year, I went to the Soul Bowl and watched Jackson State and Alcorn State, which was fabulous. I mean, that was as much fun as anything I've ever done. So I've seen two SWAC games live in my life. This will be a wild game. I mean, look, Baton Rouge and Jackson are 2.5 hours, really. I don't even, not even quite.
Do you even know where they're playing this game? I don't even know.
I do not know where they're. I think it's in Jackson, but I'm not certain of that. This game will be wild. It will be fun. And I have zero idea what's going to go on in this game, but it'll be absolutely fun to watch. If you're going to bet it, how do you not bet Brian Pye? I mean, you know he's got more talent. And I think that in itself will probably be the difference in a football game.
They are playing in Jackson, Mississippi Veterans Memorial Stadium, right there, brother.
I thought I read this week that it was in Jackson, but I wasn't sure because they usually bounce this game around between there but they play in New Orleans sometimes, but it's usually Baton Rouge or Jackson.
Let's get this one done. Taking Coach Prime, laying 17.5. Scotty, that's it, bro. We got one game next week, Army-Navy. We'll probably spend most of the next week or two trying to get ready for bowl season. We'll do a couple of bowl podcasts. A lot of it's going to be trying to figure out, if you're digging into bowl season, a couple of things. Number one, figure out who's on the roster. Number two, if they're going to play or not. And number three is who actually wants to be there. And that's the biggest part of it because we've seen a lot of teams that just don't show up. And sometimes it's hard to figure out who's actually going to play. Because you'll show up day of the game, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's seven guys that aren't playing. They opted out for this one. And so you really kind of got to dig into the local beat writers to see if they've got a feel on some of these games. But either way, bowl season.
Yeah, and like last year, prime example, Mark, a huge state playing Texas Tech. Tech was fired up, ready to be there. And you think, oh, they fired their coach. Man, they had an ex-quarterback who's playing his coach. Man, they are – all in, and I mean State was sleepwalking in Memphis. I mean 2.5 hours from home. There's no rhyme or reason for why teams are going to show up. You better dig in because you don't know who is going to show up and who isn't. We talked about Louisville with Lamar Jackson. I guess that was 2017. It's the year Mullen left. Everybody and their mother on that coaching staff had left, and the guy who ended up still coaching the defense was leaving too. He just decided to stick around to help coach the defense. And the running back coach was going to Florida as well. He stuck around because they made him interim. And he got a little bit of a pay bump for a couple of paychecks. So, I mean, we had guys, State had a guy who's the sideline reporter coaching positions. That's how far they were down. And they beat Louisville and Lamar Jackson in that bowl game. Now, that was a talented State team. But come on, man. You got dudes that don't even coach football for a living. You got grad assistants. They were down to student volunteers at a couple of spots coaching ball games. You don't know who's going to show up. But State was ready to play, and Louisville could care less. They were sleepwalking in that game. You just don't know who's going to play and who's not. That is two examples on the opposite end of the spectrum from a team I'm close to that I've watched. And I will tell you, once I was on the right end of that bet, and I was on the right end of that bet last year because of the Louisville game. I lost my ass on that Louisville game. I thought they were going to truck State.
Yes, we have been on the wrong side. I feel like every time I bet State in a bowl game, I've been on the wrong side of it. Other than, was it the Rice game? Who did they play? What they had?
Yes, with Dak. I won a bunch of money on that game, too. I've won a lot more money in bowl games betting against State than I have bet for them.
Yes, but I agree with you. That was a wild one. But there was another State game that they played somebody, and they completely didn't show up. And I think I lost. I forget. I'll have to go back through. But I had some bowl games last year that we were on the wrong side of, and it got gross for me a couple of times. But I think we can pull this out. So what's your favorite play of the weekend?
Ooh, I'm going to go USC -2.5 over Utah. I think they got too much in the tank for the injuries for Utah. I think that is my favorite play of the week.
Give me Georgia -10 as the current number. I just looked it up for the first half, and this one will be my favorite. Scotty, it's been a good season. We're wrapping it up. We'll be back with you for the Army-Navy game. Little look-ahead line if you want to get to it. Army laying 1 over under.
33.5.
Here we go.
33.5, I've already looked at it. I'm like, wow, should I bet this now? But I got to let the weather get a little closer to me.
Good Lord. That's a low NFL total, 33.5. I'm going to have to.
Hey, we won it at 32 against the Air Force Army last year, and it went to overtime. Don't doubt it.
Yeah, the record on Service Academy unders is something crazy. It's got to be close to 80% over the last 10 years of totals that they've gone on. I'll get the actual number before we do the podcast next week, because I may break this thing down and go under in four different quarters and halftime and for the total, and have six completely separate bets across the board. I mean, the first quarter over-under is going to be 7.5, probably somewhere in there. So, yeah, it could be fun. Second quarter will probably be 10, but we'll see. That being said, folks, hit us up on Twitter. Find me a Hypnotoad t-shirt. I'm need an extra large. Been eating a little bit too much. Got to get back in the gym. But hit me up a DM. I'll send you the money on a Venmo or whatever. We'll look forward to it. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy championship weekend football, and we will be back at you next week.